The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, and I am the show host of Conversation Unplugged with my brother in Christ, a brother from another mother, Reverend Dr. Kevin Aiken. Excuse me, Bishop Dr. Kevin Aiken. What's up, Bishop? How's it going? I think you're on mute, man. I think you are on mute. We can't have that voice muted. Amen. There you go.
Yeah. It's all right.
Pastor Johnson can't be with us today as co-host. He can't be with us today. He has a meeting that he could not get out of. So I just got, before we interview Bishop Felton, is he here because he can't get out of a meeting, or did the Vikings lose last week? Did the Vikings lose last week, Bishop?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll give Pastor Robert Johnson. We'll give Pastor Robert Johnson we'll give him a pass. I just want to make sure, because if they lost and he ain't show up on the radio show, you know he ain't going to live that one down. He definitely not going to live that one down.
No, he's not.
Yeah, thank you for your prayers. I just got back from Atlanta, Georgia. Spent time with my babies, my grandbabies and everything. Did not want to leave, as well as my adult babies, my two daughters and things like that. So it's just a blessing to be back on grounds. Definitely a blessing to be back on ground. Thank you for your prayers for my dad. Won't go into detail about it, but he had some medical challenges and things of that nature over the past weekend. And, you know, just say, as the Bible says, now unto him who is able, God is able. So, you know, Bishop, man, thank you for just being there and others. So thank you. Bishop J. Lewis Felton, how you doing? Welcome to Conversation Unplugged. Thanks, Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
God bless you, Dr. Wayne Weathers.
Hey, thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for joining us on Conversation Unplugged. Bishop J. Lewis Felton is servant leader, pastor of Mount Airy Church of God in Christ, vice president of the Philadelphia chapter of the NAACP, and honored to announce as also president of Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity. So thank you for taking the time to be a guest on Conversation Unplugged. I adjusted the title because it was very long, so I wanted to condense it. And so what we're going to talk about today is the power of Black faith in the 2024 election, the power of Black faith in the 2024 election. Wanted to start out because I was coming across some very interesting articles that we do research here before we actually, broadcast and things of that nature. We definitely do some, research on the subjects that we talk about. And so this past week, there was a rollout of Souls to the Polls. It was national. It was Souls to the Polls. It was national, where a bunch of African-American pastors came together. I was blessed to participate in the national virtual event that took place on Sunday, to be exact. And ABC News actually reported 6 days ago, it says, Harris campaign launches Souls to the Polls effort to turn out Black churchgoers as Election Day approaches. And the article just says, not read the whole entire article, Vice President Kamala Harris' campaign is launching its Souls to the Polls effort this weekend to turn out Black churchgoers in battleground states as Election Day approaches, a campaign official told ABC. With fewer than 30 days until Election Day, the campaign multi-pronged approach will see Harris herself visit black churches in battleground states. The Get Out the Vote program also comes with creation of a faith advisory board made of 10 prominent faith leaders, including her pastor, Dr. Amos C. Brown III, who leads Third Baptist Church in San Francisco. Also, in addition to the campaign, boards include faith leaders participating in this event, such as Bishop Reginald T. Jackson, a 132nd elected and consecrated bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Denomination, Bishop Vastai McKenzie, 117th elected consecrated bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Reverend Dr. Freddie D. Haynes, Senior Pastor III, Senior Pastor Friendship Baptist Church West in Dallas, Texas, Reverend Lawrence Watley, Founder and Senior Pastor of Kingdom Fellowship AME in Calverton, Maryland. Bishop Felton is President of Black Clergy, Vice President of the NAACP. Let's just start out by just having just unplugging this whole concept of black faith. To me, this sounds like a germane question, juvenile question, but as we educate our audience who may not understand the power of black faith, why is black faith important in this upcoming election, and why is black faith going to be so impactful?
Well, thank you, Dr. Wayne Weathers, for allowing me to be a part of this conversation today, along with Dr. Akin, and we appreciate the opportunity for the faith community to address these issues. America is a nation that has rise to prominence around the world because of the fact that it had Africans in it that helped to build the foundation of this country.
Mm-hmm.
African Americans are not marginal. We are not an afterthought to this nation. If you subtract the presence, the influence, the work, the labor, the culture, the music, the inventions of African Americans from the United States of America, what in the world would you have left? There is no America without us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to give ourselves the credit that is due us, because if we don't give it to ourselves, who else is going to do it? If you're banning our books from the library, if you never, ever intended to teach black history in the schools, then how is it that you're going to be willing to recognize our contributions to this nation or to this democracy? And, you know, we've said this many times throughout the history of this country. There has been an institutional systemic effort to literally delete the contributions of African Americans that made the country great. You know, you can find Edison Electric companies all over the place. But why isn't there a Latimer Electric Company? You can't have Thomas Edison without Louis Latimer. Can't have the light bulb without Louis Latimer. Louis Latimer invented the filament that went inside the light bulb. And so America talks about Edison, but is silent on Louis Latimer. America talks about Sears, but won't say anything about Roebuck. We've been there all the time, but we don't get the credit for it. And so people say that Mr. Trump is an inveterate liar, but that's nothing new. The white man has lied to us for over 400 years in this country. If you say that all men are created equal, but that I'm three-fifths of a person, that's an institutionalized lie in the covenant, the social covenant of this country, which is born right here in Philadelphia. So we got to start with the lies at the source. If you've been lying for over four centuries, why would you stop now?
Wow. So let me ask a question in regards to you gave a great history of the contributions of African Americans in America as related to black faith in America. One thing that kind of sparked this subject, Bishop Felton and Bishop Akin, you know, we had the event at Blue Brook this past Friday where clergy came together to pledge their support to Vice Presidential candidate Kamala Harris, as well as Senator Casey, as well as Eugene DePasquale. But when I looked at the article in the Tribune, right, everybody was quoted except Faith, Black Faith. You got me? And I'm not talking about me. Bishop Felton spoke. Keynote speaker was Ambassador Susan Johnson Cook. But all of the quotes that was made was based on Letitia James, all credit to Cherie Street, chairman of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, and nothing taken away from quotes that was made by them. But here it is. You have Bishop Felton, powerful quotes, powerful sermon by Ambassador Sujay. We call her Sujay because I know her personally. Sujay, Ambassador Sujay, Reverend Dr. Susan Johnson Cook. Is there a movement across the board, not even in white media, but just media, period, is there a movement to try to undermine the power of Black faith, especially in this upcoming election? Your thoughts, Bishop?
Well, you live in a secular society.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the world. We're not of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have to recognize the fact that if we do not promote our faith and lift it up, the secular world will disregard it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just understand that the oldest and most influential institution within the African-American community is the church. And so before we had an NAACP, before we had an SCLC, before we had an Urban League, you had the church.
Mm-hmm.
And to set the record straight, we didn't find Jesus when we came to the United States of America. Coptic Christianity is the oldest form of Christianity there is. Before there was Roman Christianity, before there's Orthodox Christianity, there's Coptic Christianity from Acts chapter 8, from the Ethiopian, that God wanted to hear the word so much and give birth to the faith in Africa that he took Philip from a citywide revival in Samaria, who preached to a man in a desert situation on his way back to Africa. He took the faith with him. Let's understand, Africa rocked the faith of Christianity for the first 500 years of its existence. Origen, Athanasius, Augustine, these are all African church fathers.
To tell you.
So Christianity is not a European creation.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus lived in Asia and Africa. And so we have to get away from westernizing Christ and Americanizing Christ, because Jesus is not an American, not a Democrat, not a Republican. He's God all by himself. His kingdom stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not sell Bibles as though that's the way we ingratiate ourselves with the faith. The situation is that this faith of ours is rooted and grounded in our Judeo-Christian trajectory. So no candidate needs to wrap himself up in the American flag as though he owns it, or turn a Bible upside down and sell it as though he wrote it. God is God all by himself. If you're committed to the Bible and to faith and to the principles of the church, then seek justice. That is why the Word of God says, justice must begin at the house of God. And that's what we should be about, is justice. And it has been the church that has been the champion for justice. Whether you look at Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks, these were individuals of faith. Frederick Douglass, you look at Richard Allen, C.H. Mason, the influence of faith in America, not just African Americans, but the whole country is indispensable when you consider the fact of our faith. But think about this. There's a major white Pentecostal organization called the Assembly of God. But the first ministers of the Assemblies of God were ordained by C.H. Mason, the founder of the Church of God in Christ, because during the segregation and Jim Crow of the early 1900s, the government did not recognize the application of the Assembly of God as a 501c3 nonprofit government recognized organization. So their first ministers had to be ordained by a black preacher, C.H. Mason. Now, you're not going to hear them say that. It is said that G. Patterson, former presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, preached at an Assembly of God church, and the pastor introduced him and said, "We're grateful to have with us Bishop G. Patterson, presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, our sister church." And when Bishop Patterson got up, he said, "We're not your sister. We're your mama church." It's hard for white America to admit that we're your mama. Wasn't for us, you wouldn't be here.
That's right.
If you don't believe it, consult with the Genome Project, which says we all came from the same two parents, dark-skinned African parents, and that genetically we're all 99.999% alike. Mm-hmm. Racism is a disease of ignorance, and it's contagious and toxic, which is why the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's why they don't want to recognize the church, because we're preaching the truth. Anytime a person like Trump can even run for political office after leading an insurrection against the country and then denied that January 6th even happened, and on yesterday said that it was a day of peace and love,
you love lies
mm-hmm. rather than the truth. And anybody that wants to tell you the truth, you want to disconnect your association with them. That's where we are.
Wow. Let's do this. Bishop Aiken, I know you got some questions and comments, so let's do this. Let's take our 30-second station break at this time. Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. Let's take a 30-second station break, and then we'll come back.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
We're back. Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. And got to have my brother in Christ, brother from another mother, Bishop Dr. Aiken, chime in with some questions and things like that. I know his barbecue restaurant is now relocating to North Philadelphia. Before we go any further, always got to give a shout out to my oldest daughter. The music that you heard on a commercial break was produced, written, and manufactured, whatever, created by my daughter, oldest daughter, Jasmine Nicole Weathers. So shout out to Jazz. I want to just always give the shout out to the one who produced that for us. Bishop, tell us about your restaurant on the move, and then let's lead into some leading questions, because I would go on to say that you got the best barbecue in Philadelphia. What would you say, Bishop?
I'm going to say most definitely the best barbecue. We are developing an area of North Philly, trying to finalize our contract with that. So you'll hear more of that to come. We started off in April or May of this year with a new restaurant, and we're looking forward to having our barbecue restaurant in around Temple University.
Wow.
So therefore, you will definitely have finger licking good down south. Ribs, briskets, coleslaw, mm-hmm. mac and cheese, candy yams, cornbread, and all the nine yards. But I am honored right now to talk to my brother, Bishop Felton, and also one that my father raved about and was excited for, Bishop Felton, and a good friend and used to come and do the breakfasts and spend time with the men. Bishop Felton, you have given us some wealth of information as an academician when it comes to the fabric of information. And I think that that's what's missing, the information that you are providing and giving. And I do believe that a lot of our brothers and sisters miss the very nuggets that you actually are speaking about. With that being said, when it comes to this idea of furtherance of faith and knowing that, you know, that Black lives matters when it comes to the advancement of our nation. How do we as faith leaders begin to expand the knowledge gap and expand on the gap that's there, filling it with the right information so that we can strengthen our communities with that information? Because good history speaks of present tense. And a lot of people do not recognize the builders of our nation, and the fact that what you're mentioning about our inventors, and the fact that you know, when it comes to Black presence in the Bible, or what have you, as you're mentioning that, good insight. We seem to be ignorant to a lot of that. How do we begin to start now? Fostering a sense of education and understanding to bring people to a place where they can speak with the conviction that you speak with.
Mm. You know, Bishop Akins, it is said that less than 2% of the teachers in America's public schools are Black males, which means that there are some things that only a man can teach a man.
Huh.
As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens another man. And so the kinds of images that are being developed are those that are not even conducive to identifying with manhood, masculinity, virinity. And of course, if you lose your sense of identity and purpose and destiny, then you are allowing other people to define who you are. Mm-hmm. And so we have to reassemble the infrastructure of the Black family.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get back to God in the home. We have to heal the Black family.
Right.
And that is the primary teaching place. Teaching does not begin with the public schools, even though we need it. And we talk about the fact that public schools may be graduating half of our African-American children, Hispanics. But how many of us are failing to graduate our young people from spirituality and morality in the home?
Right.
If we ever get education and God and the Bible and prayer back in the home, then we'll take it to school with us.
Right.
And so in dealing with this disease of ignorance, the place that we're going to have to begin the teaching is with parents and godparents and grandparents and big mama. All of them can help. But what happened is we disconnected an intergenerational conversation with our elders. It's because of the generational history, experiences, testimony of seniors passed down to young people that cause them to carry forth that knowledge into future generations.
Right.
But when senior citizens are afraid to approach young people because they may look thuggish or may have on hoods, they may be involved in things that have only recently become legal, such as weed.
Right.
You got ghost guns, you're stealing cars and that sort of thing. And then so the person that you should be mentoring, you're afraid of, which means that there's a disconnect in our own communities.
Right.
We have to heal our communities. We have to heal our families. And then the home becomes the first school. Let me put it like this. The first police officer I met was my dad, not because he was a member of the police force, but because he enforced order.
Right.
The law of God in the home. And because of that, I didn't have to worry about being pulled over. So if I was pulled over, I knew how to respect the officer because I knew how to respect authority in the home. I knew how to talk to my parents. If you know how to talk to your parents, you know how to talk to persons who are in positions of authority. On last Friday, we had over 500 police officers and chaplains at Mount Airy as the chaplains took the oath of office. In my previous pastorage, I had an annual law enforcement salute where our children were able to personally interact with police officers, white, black, Hispanic, whatever, shake their hands, get the police officers to know them on a first name basis. Once you know who you're policing in your community, and community policing is indispensable, then that means you have a better climate for peace, lower the crime rate, lower the stalemate, bring about a sense of understanding. We have to reclaim home, community, family, and then I think we'll realize church doesn't begin when you get to church. It's already in you when you wake up in the morning.
Right.
When God gives you new mercies, compassions, and loving kindness.
Very good. A lot was packed in that. And you're right. I think the idea of home becomes really enforcement place. Now, with that being said, and it's a couple of things that I kind of picked up and kind of wrote down a little bit based on what you're saying, based on the parenting issues, black family. You know as well as the travesty of black males in a home. You know, they're found more so in prisons and in the street. 63% or so homes, African-American homes, are ran by women.
Yes, sir.
And just the statistic says that it makes the community soft when black men, in a sense, are not in the home. With that being said, understanding the ratio and the statistics in the church, knowing, of course, predominantly women are found in the church, found in the home, in the community. My question now, you know, really when centered around this election, with the idea of trying to get black votes and trying to make sure the black men are present, you know, what is and has been your view on this idea? And again, it's an idea that Kamala Harris is spending time trying to have conversations in and around barbershops and areas of African-American males. We also find that a lot of the entertainers, black male entertainers and things like that, have endorsed Trump for purposes because of history. I was watching news, and not going to say the name on this station, but you find a lot of the athletes that found themselves being supported and financially handled by Donald Trump at his casinos and things like that. Mm-hmm. What is the landscape and what did it look like when it comes to Kamala and conversations that are had around African-American males and the conversation and the plight of trying to get votes? Let's kind of open up that a little bit.
Well, you know, Bishop, you mentioned athletes. And so let me mention one athlete in particular.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick. When he took a knee, the national anthem was being played to protest against police brutality and killing of our unarmed black men and women. He was released from his position as quarterback and has right. not gotten a job since with any football team in right. the NFL.
That's right.
And so as far as athletes is concerned, concerning Donald Trump, Colin Kaepernick didn't sell out.
Right.
And even when he got fired, and this is what Donald Trump said to the NFL owners. Mm-hmm. He said, anyone who takes a knee during the playing of the national anthem, yep. he said, and I can't quote him.
Oh, he said it.
He said, I would fire the SOBs. And yep. they roared in approval. And so here's the situation. If you call my mama a B, and you call me SOB, you will never, ever in a thousand lifetimes get my vote.
Oh, yeah.
Let's understand that. And so any athlete or celebrity that goes after that, remember, the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's right.
And so you can't betray your community for 30 pieces of silver. That's why the black church has to stand up. And I know there are some black preachers who support Trump. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason yeah. why.
Mm-hmm.
They say that Trump is pro-life and that Trump is pro-faith and pro-God. In fact, there was a conference where they even made a golden image of Trump.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I noticed that I didn't hear any black preachers or white preachers condemning this idolatry.
Mm.
The other thing is, you can't be a law and order person and you kill police officers on January the 6th.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't be pro-God and you murder people and That's then right. lie and say it never happened. You are spiritually deluded.
Right.
God has sent you strong delusion. Your conscience is seared with a hot iron.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever your conscience becomes seared with a hot iron, you become reprobate. And as a reprobate, the book says you believe your own lie. Anytime you start believing your own lies, you are beyond help.
Right, right.
And so that's the situation we find ourselves in. And so I recognize that there has been some discussion around this issue with black men. Well, let's that's deal correct. With this.
Yes.
That didn't happen overnight. And so we do have to deal with problems in our community. We have to deal with it where it is. Everybody knows that we have issues in our community,
right.
that we have division. They know that there are guns in the community, drugs right. in the community, even though we didn't make the guns.
That's right.
And we didn't manufacture the drugs. Mm. So who brought the drugs in our community? Who's bringing the guns in our community? Who yeah. refuses to pass laws that restrict ghost guns?
Right.
Who is it that refuses to require background checks?
Right.
Who is it that doesn't want any gun to be regulated of any kind, even if it's an AK-47? Who is it?
Right, right.
It's the Trump people.
Right.
It's the NRA people. Lafayette, who is being tried mm. for the fraud that he conducted. So anytime you have a person run for president who kills police officers on January the 6th,
right.
organizes the protest and say they didn't have anything to do with it. That's a lie.
Right.
He organized it, paid right. for buses to come there. He knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so wake up, America, and realize you know you're being lied to. You right. saw it happen on January 6th. Brian Sicknick, an officer, lived in New Jersey, died because of his injuries at the Capitol on January 6th. The people that went into the Capitol spread feces on the wall. They called black officers niggers. And you think you're going to get my vote? Never in a thousand lifetimes. I defy you.
Right, right.
Could we just also add, not only were the feces, like my screen got the logo, not only were the feces smeared on walls, but it was black folks working at the facility at that time had to clean it up, you know.
And that's
the missing story here, that our folks had to clean up.
They don't want to talk about it.
No. Mm-mm. I'm not trying to, you know, use profanity, but our folks had to clean up the crap they put on the wall. And that's historical because we're always put in a position to clean up the crap.
That's right.
You know.
That's it.
From the time that we were brought here. You know, it's you know, let me just stop right there. Let me ask you a question, Bishop. We're going to bypass the 30-second station break. There is this struggle within the church, especially, you know, struggle within the Black church. And just let me take a pause. My church member Mitchell Hughes commented and said a lot of problems started when they took prayer out of school. We had to do a pledge of allegiance every morning. And what he's alluding to now is that we went from praying in school to doing a pledge of allegiance. And he believes a lot. That's when a lot of the problems started, when we took prayer out of school. There's this tension in church, especially the Black church, between the word and political engagement. And there are some that would say political engagement, which I reject totally, doesn't have a place in the church, because the only thing we got to focus on is the word only, and getting souls saved. And so with that mindset going into this 2024 election, how do we educate our brothers and sisters to allow them to understand that it's both and not either or?
Well, let me tell you, if that had been the rule that we followed, that means Martin Luther King would never have engaged in the boycott of Montgomery buses. If that's the rule that we had followed, we'd still be on the backs of buses, because as you realize in a letter from Birmingham jail, white Christian pastors said to Martin Luther King, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're breaking the law.
Right.
And these white supremacist pastors knew they had passed unjust laws. Why would you want me to be in compliance with unjust laws?
Right.
Why do you have any conscience, any sense of God? Why would you take the Bible and whitewash it to the sense that you want me to bow to you, when the fact of the matter is the Bible has its origins in Africa? You got a white Jesus up in your church, and you know good and well Jesus was nowhere near white. Even Billy Graham said that. I know Jerry Falwell never would have said it, but Billy Graham admitted Jesus was not a white man like me. That's what Billy Graham said. So you ought to have a black Jesus right smack up in your church.
Right.
And that would help you to understand the fact that you have misrepresented God and the Bible.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of blacks that have been brainwashed with this white supremacist junk. And that's why you're not preaching a real gospel. Mm-hmm. You're not preaching truth. There are a lot of people. Let me tell you, I was in Memphis when Martin Luther King spoke at Mason Temple. I marched with him. I was sitting there in Mason Temple when he spoke.
Wow.
And I know that all black people didn't support Martin Luther King. So as I said earlier, we have divisions in our community. Everybody knows that. And they know why we have, because you the one messed us up. You divided us. Why do you think we have all these different colors in the black race?
Yep.
You got cinnamon, mahogany, vanilla, white chocolate. You know that's not because over these 400 years, black men were marrying white women. Why did Emmett Till spark the civil rights movement? Because a white woman lied, even though she recanted it just before she died, that he wolf whistle at her. Emmett Till, a black teenager from Chicago who just happened to have been a member of the Church of God in Christ, was lynched.
Right.
And his funeral was held at 40th and State, which is now a National Historic Monument. Well, none of those men were convicted. He was lynched because they said he whistled at a white woman. And you've been taking our women for 400 years and raping them.
Yeah.
And I dare you to say that it didn't happen. That's why we all these different colors. And then you're going to talk to me about division in my community? Right. I denounce you. And so the situation as far as the black men, black women thing,
right?
It's time for us as black men to celebrate our queens. You had a church for hundreds of years that didn't even allow women to engage in ministry. Many of them still don't. So don't come talking to me about why men in barbershops or athletes in this sort of situation don't want to deal with Kamala Harris. You need to remember, I said, justice begins at the house of God.
Yeah.
If you're keeping women down in your own church, then what do you think some black men who don't have the maturity or experience to rightly divide the word of truth are going to come up with as a conclusion? When they see you denigrating black women, marginalize them, not allowing them to engage in significant positions of leadership, then that means you breed a disrespect. And so rappers that you say would endorse Trump, You right. don't refer to our women derogatory. You don't use those kind of, I don't care if it's sales. You don't use
right.
profane, illicit terms concerning our wives and mothers and sisters and daughters. That's demonic.
Right.
And we have to decry it. We have to speak out against it. And so, as in the book of Esther, if you don't speak up for your own people, deliverance will arise from another source. And so what is happening is, as the book says, a woman shall compass a man. And we find that many organizations, religious institutions, would not facilitate or enfranchise the role of Black women. And now God has fixed it that yeah. a Black woman would rise in spite of you to being on the verge of the leader of the free world. God moves in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the hand of God at work. And so let us not miss this moment of history. Don't allow twisted people to tell you we shouldn't be involved in the work of justice. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Justice, the
right.
just dying for the unjust, righteous right. dying for the unrighteous, the holy dying for the unholy. What's any more just than that? Get back to preaching a real gospel, not compromise, entertainment, or filibuster.
So on that, we're going to do this early so we have a little bit more time as, you know, we get to close out the show. We're going to go on our last 30-second station break. We normally take one at 1:30. It was just so robust and good. You just don't want to stop. You got me. So we'll take our last 30-second station break, and then we'll carry it after that until 1:55. Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care. We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM and City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. Also want to announce that, please forgive me, audience, we've been saying this, but we're definitely going to make it official. October 25th is going to be the first podcast launch. I mean, we talked about that a few weeks ago, podcast launch, and we're going to deal with the series, How to Get Up After You've Been Knocked Down. My college classmate, Eddie Good, has a book out called Audacity, a thought-provoking, tear-jerking book, and he provides his living testimony on how you get up after you've been knocked down. So check us out, not only on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM, but start next Friday. We're going to make it 12 noon starting next Friday. We're going to launch our podcast we've been talking about for over a month. And so we're going to launch that series, and we're going to be interviewing individuals, and I'm going to close out probably towards the end as we approach our 10th church anniversary, how you get up after you've been knocked down, because Lord knows I was knocked down 10 years ago, but I'm still standing. Amen. And to God be the glory. I want to enter this phase of the interview, Bishop. Back in April, President Joe Biden came to Mount Airy Church of God in Christ. And what a great occasion for the President of the United States of America to come to Mount Airy Church of God in Christ. And I start out by mentioning that to illustrate, if the campaign staff, both state as well as national, didn't think Black faith was important, not only would President Joe Biden not be at going to churches, but what it would not have come to Mount Airy Church and God in Christ. Can you just explain that experience of having President Joe Biden at Mount Airy Church of God in Christ? And also, we connect that into the importance of Black faith and the power of Black faith in this election.
Well, you know, we were surprised as anyone else, probably more surprised that President Biden was coming to Mount Airy, because we had no advance, it happened on July 7th. And so it's the holiday weekend. And we're all in holiday mode. And so, some of us still eating barbecue and enjoy this time with our family. And I get this call from the White House and then from the Secret Service asking me if it would be all right if a high-level government official were to visit Mount Airy. And they didn't say president at that time. They just said a high-level government official. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton came to Mount Airy in 2016, the Sunday before the election, while she was still under investigation by the Attorney General. And they didn't tell me that it was going to be Hillary Clinton until like a couple of hours before she actually came. So I wasn't expecting President Biden because I said, well, I've been here before, but, you know, if you say high level, then I don't know, it might be Secretary of State. It could be a senator. And then as we began to close in on Sunday, that Saturday evening, they said, well, it's going to be the president, and we don't want you to announce that because he came to be a part of the worship at your congregation, and we don't want it to be a heightened security risk by you publicizing this. So we had to play by their rules. And when the president came, you know, it's just like last Sunday. I had Tony West there, who's the brother-in-law of Kamala Harris, and he had to go and make other churches. He went to Mother Bethel. And so I understood that, and I know that you had to cover as many people as you can. So I didn't expect the president to stay all the way through. I thought it was going to be another situation. You stop by and go on, because he was on his way to Harrisburg. But the person, Joe Biden, I'm not just talking about the president, the person was so kind and gentle and open-hearted that when I shook his hand, I had been with him earlier in the spring. We had about 15 seconds together, took a picture, and I showed him that picture. And he said, yeah, I remember you. And he said, you know, we're just delighted to come and worship with you today. Stayed the entire service. And he was so encouraged and uplifted that he came back inside the church and started hugging people, taking selfies. He stayed another 45 minutes. He delayed the schedule because he felt some healing, some love. He felt some support from his faith community. And he admitted, even in Delaware, that he would go to Black churches in Wilmington and Dover. And so he has an affinity with the community of faith. And let's just admit, God did give us something in spite of oppression and Jim Crow and slavery. He never allowed our praise to be diminished, never allowed our witness for him to be compromised by the persecution that we receive. God sides with the oppressed. And when the president came, you know, they named us the Black Church. And some of them didn't say Mount Airy. They said Black Church. And so obviously, you know, we didn't have this thing of blackness. Let's understand this. Blackness is something that originates with America. When we were in Africa, ain't nobody in Africa going around calling themselves black. They identify with their tribes, their families, their origins, just as we did when we were there. Mm-hmm. It's only when we came here that there's this black-white thing, which is a curse that is perpetrated by the system in which we live. And that is why the Bible says we're in this world and not of it, because we live in a crooked and perverse nation, according to Philippians chapter 2, among whom we shine as lights in the world. And so this faith of ours that they have called black faith, I would prefer to call it the true faith, the real faith of Jesus Christ that has not been compromised by political expediency, but one that honors the kingdom of God. And if America is going to be saved, it may very well be us who saves it.
Well, I know Bishop wants to chime in. Just quick 30 seconds, Bishop Aiken, Minister Julietta, she's a minister at Vision of Hope Baptist Church, but roots are grounded in Mount Airy Church of God in Christ. She responds by saying, celebrate our queens and rightly divide the word of truth. Stop breathing disrespect. She says, hallelujah, speak up. She says, yes, Bishop, talk, sir. Bishop Aiken.
Yeah, I wanted to, and I know that the time is limited. Only got a few minutes, but I wanted to kind of dive in. You mentioned about the beautiful spirit of Biden and just the fact that he came back and what have you off the cuff of Obama and being, of course, in that administration. Wanting to ask you about the backlash that Obama is actually receiving. I'm not sure if you are aware of the backlash that he had been receiving, but it's in the news that he, you know, been supporting Kamala and going out and trying to help for these, you know, getting and rallying up black men to go out and to vote. And now from CNN, the news media are going on kind of a frenzy and backlash and saying that it causes a problem and an upheaval. Now that men are black men are rejecting what he has said based on his lecturing style. What is your take, if you have any, on that based on what Barack Obama is doing in the support? How do you see his conversation, if you're aware of the conversation that he's been having? What's your take on it, if you can?
Well, I think President Barack Obama is right in encouraging black men to vote for Kamala Harris. Of course, right. Every man ought to vote for Kamala Harris, and every woman. It's not limited to black men or black women. He's simply stating that we are not going to be co-opted into a falsetto situation where you project the image that we don't support our own. The fact of the matter is the majority of black men do support Kamala Harris. The news media is designed to make money, to make a profit. And if you don't create controversy, then you may not sell as many papers or get as many headlines. Remember, it was the news media that was sued, namely in Fox News, for perpetrating lies concerning the election and had to pay almost $1 billion because they misrepresented the truth. Now, any network that has to pay almost $1 billion, obviously you lied.
Right.
Anytime you got to dig that deep to almost bankrupt your country and you still lying, and then you have other networks that are co-opted in it. And so that's the reason why it's still necessary to have your own black newspapers, black television station. You need your own churches, because if you don't have your own message and a platform for getting it out, the other folk will misrepresent you. And I know that firsthand, because after President Biden came to Mount Airy, I was interviewed by the Philadelphia Inquirer, who did not publish all my comments, and then came after me saying, well, didn't you sort of bend the law there with having the president to come to your church? Are you going to invite Mr. Trump? And I had to let them know I didn't invite Mr. Biden to come to my church. He asked me.
And
he is the president. The Bible says pray for those who are in authority. Mm-hmm. Trump had 4 years in office and he never said one thing about coming to me. And so don't play me like that.
Right.
I'm not the one.
Right. Right. No, you're right.
Wow. This is amazing. And thank you, Bishop. We get ready to wrap up. You said something that just reiterate while we were on the air when you said we need black media. That was one of the catalysts for us creating Conversation Unplugged to be on the air. One, to have an African-American perspective and to raise the question and provide information that's normally not provided. But then also, we don't see a lot of us African-American pastors and preachers on the radio. And so we wanted to have a black faith perspective so that we could counter the stereotypes that, you know, we only thing we want to do is just raise money to spend it, get the fancy cars, et cetera. And I'm not knocking that or anything like that, but that traces all the way back to slavery. Albert Raberto, slave religion in the antebellum South, talked about the desecration of the black preacher in one section. So we want to thank you for coming on Conversation Unplugged as we get ready to close out. This election is important, and black faith is going to African-American faith, as Bishop Felt says, real faith is going to be very critical in this upcoming election. This ain't a time to stand on the sideline. This isn't a time to be a Wednesday morning. Well, it's election not going to be announced on Wednesday. So let me just say Friday morning quarterback. it's not a time to be a Friday. Not a time to be a Friday morning quarterback. I woulda, coulda, shoulda, et cetera. Don't fall for the okie doke. There's going to be a lot that's going on. And I'll be full transparent. I'm a consultant with the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. So I'm definitely working on behalf of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party to get Kamala Harris elected. And there's no shame to the game. But they're not paying for this radio show, but there's no shame to the game. So I want to thank you, Bishop Felton, for joining Conversation Unplugged. And Bishop Akins, man, God bless you, man, for being a true brother in Christ. And if God put breath in our body next week, we're going to come back and unplug more conversations. But right now, we're going to unplug so that we can plug back in next week. Take care. God bless. May heaven continue to smile upon you. If you haven't registered to vote, go vote. If you haven't registered to apply for your mail-in ballot, get it. Because we need everybody to participate in this election. Don't let somebody make a choice for you. Make the choice for yourself. Go out and vote. This is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers unplugging on Conversation Unplugged. Take care and God bless.